Welcome. Today is the first broadcast of Isaiah22.com. I'm the founder of Isaiah22.com. Many of you will know me from being on broadcast with Empower 2000. And my name is Laura Nieminen. It's nice to have you here. And we are so happy to join with Empower 2000 and Joseph Peck in having James Nesbitt and his crew here today. We thank you that you have joined us. James has been a leader in the realm of worship that is out of the box. And I'll just say that having been at one of his Tribe Quantum events, if you ever have a chance to go and you're at all interested in prophetic worship, do not miss it. This trip that they're going to share with you today will be along those lines as well, I am sure. They're going to share with us the heart of God for what they're doing. And so, James, we just welcome you here.
Laura, thank you. And it's an honor to be with this crew, this Lord's crew, actually, that I get to be a part of. The whole is better than the sum of its parts. And the anointing is in the cluster. And it's very evident when you're with these guys, they all carry a punch and a grace that the Lord has given them. And we're going to have John pray in just a second. But before we do that, we just want to stop and give God thanks. I think the last time we were on a webinar with Joseph was last year before we were planning our journey to Israel. And the Lord, through that webinar, brought 88 people, the same numbers on a keyboard. And we gathered in Israel and we worshiped throughout the land. And it was a glorious experience. And then now the Lord has, through a prophetic word, which we'll talk about in a few minutes after John prays, has sending us on assignment again this year. And it's an honor to be with you, Laura, and you, Ed, and John. And we're trusting Jamie will be with us in a few minutes. He's been having trouble logging on. But John, would you open us up in prayer? It's good to see you, dear brother.
Good to see you, James. Well, Lord, we just come before you and humble ourselves before you. We bless everybody that is on this webcast right now. Lord, we ask to stand in your counsel and to hear your voice and to respond together to your voice and your heart, Lord. It is your heart to see this journey come forth with a governmental authority that shifts, really the nations of the earth. We don't quite understand it, but your word declares in Isaiah 2 that the mountain of God's house will become chief among the mountains and the nations are going to stream to it. And we know somehow this is part. So Lord, just bless my brothers and bless Laura. And we ask that you just give us clarity to convey the dream of your heart for this Rome to Jerusalem journey in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, you're gathered here today because our four ministries, Lamplighters and Gateway, Philadelphia Tabernacle of David, and Prepare the Way Ministries have joined together in partnership. Actually, it's been an orchestrated partnership of the Lord. And he allowed us to travel together to Israel last year, and we have the honor of going again. And so the reason you're on this webinar is Father has drawn you to hear this sound, and perhaps you're one of those who is on your heart to go with us. And so we're here today to share the vision and to release information. Many of you have been saying, man, when we get the information for this? Well, it's been part of the warfare is even trying to put this thing together. And for that, we honor Ed Watts, who's labored a lot. And even as he's been laboring, his family's been going through flu stuff and all that kind of thing. So even as before Ed talks in a little while, we thank you for Ed's family, Lord. We thank you for ministering to his home with grace and healing and strength for the new day. And bless Ed with grace. And before Ed talks, see, I'm the kind of guy that I'm a land person. And when I get on the land in worship, a lot of times the Lord just starts using me to see things and phrases come and I dance together with him that way. But Ed and John, these guys carry deep vision in different ways. And so John has had such a burning in his heart for this that he even put it in his new book, The Midnight Cry. So, John, why don't you just share what's burning in your heart, and we'll connect that with what Ed carries. You know, you never know where he's going to go up and come down to. And so we'll just begin to dance that way. All right?
Sure. Well, We had such an amazing tour last year. It was life-changing for Jolene and me, and it was life-changing for you guys, I know, and I think it was even nation-changing, the Crown and Throne Israel tour. And we had a heart to see retrace the steps of King David as he was focused on restoring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And in some way, I felt like as we retraced his steps and regained his heart and honored Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, even, you know, we saw a very amazing drama play out just a few months later, really 7 months later, when President Trump even openly declared that the official U.S. policy from now on is that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And so there's something about these forerunning journeys that set the course even of our nation, and possibly even we have the honor of impacting Israel. And so I'm so excited about this Rome to Jerusalem gathering. We've had several prophetic experiences. James, I know that you had a prophetic word, which I'm sure you're going to share, just before the Crown and Throne Israel tour last year, where a prophet spoke to you about going from holy city to holy city. And we had our own unique encounter with the Lord related to Rome to Jerusalem. The Lord mandated that we return from the Crown and Throne tour back through Jerusalem. I mean, back through Rome. And we had never been to Rome before, didn't know quite what to expect, didn't know why he was sending us. But he sent us back from Jerusalem to Rome. And really, that's where the capital of Christianity in the world, it's one of the capitals of Christianity in the entire earth. So we were privileged to go. We were very surprised that the presence of God met us from the very moment we touched ground. We took a tour of the Vatican. We took a tour of the Roman grounds. And we ended up at the Arch of Titus. And if you're familiar with the Arch of Titus, it's actually the victory arch to commemorate Rome's victory over Israel and over the Jewish people in 70 AD. And it commemorates really a tragedy because the Jewish people became subjugated, those that they could capture. They were scattered to the ends of the earth. Those who were captured and went back in as captives to Rome came in through the gates of Rome as slaves and really came into all of Europe through those gates in subjugation and in prejudice and shame. And the diorama on this amazing Arch of Titus shows the Jewish captives carrying the menorah from the temple. And that's just absolutely extraordinary. The temple menorah, probably the temple menorah that Judah Maccabee, the guy who overtook the Greeks and took back the temple and rededicated to the Lord by relighting the menorah. Hanukkah celebrates this rededication. The temple menorah, probably that Judah Maccabee lit, was brought into captivity to Rome. And it was at that point that the Holy Spirit spoke to us so very clearly that it's his desire to restore the lampstand to Jerusalem. And if you know about Rome, there's some amazing, amazing, wonderful expressions of God's heart that Rome carries that no other city carries. We're so privileged to be going to Rome. But unfortunately, one of the challenges that has beset Europe and really beset Christianity since that time was the prejudice against the Jewish people and subjugation of the Jewish people. And the menorah, I have a menorah here that we actually had on our wedding. And many of you know the story of how God relit, he lit the menorah on the first day of our wedding, on the first day of Hanukkah, as we were, praying and worshiping the Lord. But the menorah represents a tree. And the roots of this tree are what empowers the branches. And Christianity for thousands of years has had the root system of the menorah cut off from our Jewish roots and replanted really in the soil of Rome. And unfortunately, Constantine brought a strange amalgamation of Christianity and Roman paganism. And so when this menorah was replanted in the soil of Rome, the Jewish roots of our faith were cut off, and we have some pagan traditions, some idolatrous traditions that really have wounded and marred the heart of Jesus as expressed through his people. And so when we talk about restoring the lampstand from Rome to Jerusalem, we're wanting to see this menorah representing the lampstand of our fire, our passion for Jesus, our clarity and the truth of God's heart, the truth of God's word, and the manifestation of his glory. We believe the menorah belongs in Jerusalem. We believe that God wants us to see that menorah, even the menorah of our faith, replanted in the soil of Jerusalem and reconnected to our Jewish roots. So that's what I feel like our invitation is. For each one of us, the Lord wants to reset our lampstands. And our lampstands of passion, our lampstands of clarity and vision. He wants to relight the flame. And this vision that God has given for this season, I believe, is a forerunning witness on a global level that that's exactly what God is doing. He is resetting the lampstand. And we're not in any way trying to take anything away from Rome. As the Lord brings this restoration to pass, really Rome's lampstand is going to shine with a brilliance that it's never shown before, because there'll be right alignment. And so last year we were focused on retracing the steps of King David as he restored the Ark of the Covenant. This year our passion is to see the lampstand restored to its place in Jerusalem as well.
Very good, John. Very good. Last year, before we went on our journey, I was at a meeting with a wonderful prophetic guy who I had never met, named Bob Hazlett. And during that meeting, he called me out and gave me a word that he saw angels and shofars blowing me to Jerusalem, and that Father had something waiting for me in Jerusalem. And so, but then after that, he began to say, "And I see you going from holy city to holy city, from Rome to Jerusalem." And so last year we were obedient. I mean, I was going to go 2 weeks after he prophesied that to me to Jerusalem. He didn't know that. But he surprised me with the word about going from Rome to Jerusalem. And so as I began to share this with John and Ed and Jamie, the Father began to put light on that word the way he does. And so you've heard John's portion. What is so wonderful about working with these four ministries is each one of them has a unique gift that we all bring to the table. It's an ingredient that Father mixes together to pour out a good fresh wine in a sense. So Ed, now this guy here, you got to watch him. He'll go up and he'll come down on you, and you'll never know where he's coming down at, but it's always a good, glorious way. So we bless Ed Watts, and we thank you, Ed. And he's done a lot of the legwork to make this happen and experienced a lot of warfare even up to this point. So we bless Ed Watts as he speaks now.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to read a scripture, and, you know, this is a historical – these gatherings the Lord has allowed us to do over the last few years with Revolution in D.C. and many of these gatherings with the Tribe Quantum. And the Lord is birthing something that is really shifting the earth with his original intent. And these journeys are not really tours that we're doing, at least the ones we've done over the last couple of years. They are really a governmental people of the kingdom of heaven, shifting the earth and unlocking the Lord's original intent in cities, regions, and nations. And this scripture has been a scripture on my heart that I feel that we're in this moment with the 70th year of Israel. In Ephesians 1:9, having made known the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather in one all things to Messiah, which are both in heaven and on earth in him. And it goes on to talk about he works everything according to the purpose of the counsel of his will. And the Lord's raising up companies like this that stand in the counsel of God, that hear his word, and that bring that word back to the earth. And I know me and Jamie had an encounter in Philadelphia at an ancient spot, and there was two angels. We were on a prophetic assignment, and the angels said, "We've been waiting for you to come." And that marked my life when Jamie released that word, that vision. You know, angels are waiting for his people to come and release the word of the Lord, and it will unlock the prophetic destiny in the land and the nations. And sometimes we have a false humility, and God's saying, you know what, I want you to walk in humility, but true humility, but I'm putting my words in the mouth of my people that will tear down, demolish, and destroy thrones of iniquity and build and plant my throne and unleash my original intent in nations. And so I believe we find ourselves with the 50-year celebration of the Jubilee of Jerusalem, I believe, and the 70th year of Israel, we're in for such a time as this that I call the fullness of time, that this tells us what time it is in the earth, without a doubt. And then you throw in there the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther taking those, 95 theists and not nailing on the door. You know, we're in a moment that God's like, all right, I want to finish the Reformation. That which got corrupted, you know, at the Council of Nicaea, in 300 AD, and that mixture that came in, that I'm bringing this all the way back to Jerusalem and my original intent. And with the 70th year of Israel, I believe we're in the fullness of time that the Lord is saying, I want my people to return back to my menorah. And you look at that menorah, it really is a picture that the Lord, in many ways, he's the seven spirits of God, but also the seven feasts of the Lord that gives light in his temple. And he's restoring his feasts, and he's having a people, you know, after 70 years, they return from Babylon. If you know church history, God sent them into captivity because they wanted to be like the original 70 nations, and they wanted to worship their God. So after prophet, God sent them into Babylon. But after 70 years, he said, it's time to return to my original intent. It's time to return to Jerusalem. It's time to uncover the foundation and build my testimony on the earth. And so this journey, I truly believe, is a company of people that will prophetically travel. And we will go and honor what in the catacombs and worship in the catacombs, and those apostolic mantles that were torn away and killed, that we're going to reclaim and take back up to Jerusalem, the menorah of God prophetically. I believe that when we do that, that the prophetic lampstand, there's going to be a prophetic shift in Jerusalem by what we were reclaiming prophetically, this lampstand and these apostolic mantles that were stolen, and literally carrying them prophetically up to Jerusalem. And we're going to unleash a movement in the land, I believe, that will take global, and not that saying we're all this, but I believe this is our assignment. I believe that this is just a people that hear the summons. This is our assignment, and it will never be known, but I believe this is what the Lord's saying. And he said, I'm calling my people out of Babylon. I'm calling, you talk about the seven hills, and the harlot sits on seven hills, and Rome sits on seven hills, and Jerusalem sits on seven hills. And there's a lot of revelation in that that we don't have time to really break out all today. But we'll speak about some of these things on this journey as we travel to different sites And I believe the Lord is releasing a clarion call to a people, return to my original intent. And he's going to use this company of people to unleash a movement prophetically from Jerusalem back to the 70 original nations, the 70 bloodlines. We'll see, I believe, truly 70 apostolic mountains that will birth 70, a movement of apostolic centers in the earth that will restore God's original intent in every bloodline, in every nation, in every family tree. And so I'm excited about this journey. I'm excited to travel with these gentlemen again, and what the Lord has given each of us, a piece of the puzzle. And so maybe the Lord's speaking to you out there today, and ask the Lord again. This is not a tour, but this is truly a prophetic historical journey that the Lord is calling and summoning people to make. And so ask the Lord if this is an assignment for you to do.
Yes. Wonderful, Ed. And that's exactly right. This isn't a tour. This is a prophetic worship assignment. And you know, the Lord on these journeys, he sets up moments, these you can't make this stuff up moments. And he has surprises waiting and sounds waiting that sometimes you're surprised as how he breaks stuff open. We can see that Jamie has joined us now, and he's got his Philadelphia colors on. You know, the Eagles are flying, and he'll probably speak prophetically into that. Look at him. He's got his big bird right on his desk there. And so we'll let Jamie go ahead. I'm sure he's full of world champion excitement this morning, this afternoon. Good to see you, Jamie. We can't hear you, Jamie.
Just unmute yourself, Jamie.
There we go. Okay, sorry. I tried to unmute earlier and it wasn't working. I apologize. I was having all kinds of technical difficulties. And yes, I got my Eagles green on today. We are feeling good. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting what God's doing, actually. I do believe it's prophetic. I do believe we're in a season where God's emphasizing gateways. I think we know that. I think that he's been emphasizing governmental gateways, not only in the natural, but in the spirit. And obviously, Philadelphia is a big governmental gateway in our nation. And so I do think it's very interesting what God's doing. But to speak more directly to the topic today, we are excited about this trip. I really believe that with God dealing with governmental gateways, some of the most important ones are the capital cities. And those aren't the only governmental gateways. There are other cities that are not, you know, capital cities that are very important governmental gateways, something like Philadelphia, for example. But I believe God's really emphasizing these capital ideas. And to me, one of the really neat things that's going to be happening with this trip is we're going to get a chance to go to the place, you know, to go to Capitol Hill in Rome that was really what the capitals were patterned after, and particularly our capital was patterned after it. Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. was taken from that idea of Capitol Hill in Rome. And the capitals in you know, as we know them, are basically derived from this Roman concept. And so I believe God's really emphasizing that. And what's going to be amazing is in God's timing, because we did not, we had planned initially for this trip to be at a different time, but in God's timing, he moved it to this time that we're talking about now. And so we will be coinciding with a nationwide effort that'll be going on here in the United States for people to go to each one of the state capitals to worship in their state capitals for several days while we'll be in Rome, where this concept of capital came from, and this city was patterned, you know, our nation's capital was patterned after that. And, you know, Ed's been talking about this. I think this is such an important word, this idea of how capital means head. And part of what God's wanting to do is he's wanting to vav, you know, has put a stake in the capitals, kind of like JL put a stake in the head of Sisera and defeated the enemy that way. God's wanting to establish his warriors in these gateways to vav the heads, to put a stake through the heads of these places to basically deal with what the enemy's doing in those places. And it's the sons of glory standing in the gates of glory and releasing the King of Glory and all his angels into those gateways that are going to begin to deal with the battle that's raging in the gates and turn that battle back at the gates. And so that's part of what we're doing. And so one of the ways I've really been excited, or one of the things I've been thinking about that really I see building from our last trip, which I think we shared about on the same through the same avenue, is, you know, we're going last time we did this trip, we went to Israel and we felt that we needed to go to the capital city of the earth, of the globe, and impart something to that capital city in the form of crown and throne worship. And so now what the Lord's having us do is he's having us, yeah, that's the image from last year. But now what the Lord's having us do is he's having us go to the epicenter of really of, you know, the religious institution. Let's just say that. And he's wanting us to see a release there in that gateway. And to just declare his purposes in that gateway, regarding, you know, that capital or that territory. And it's, and last time when we went to Israel, when we came back, there was a big gathering. Awaken the Dawn took place in our capital city in Washington, D.C., and is leading the way to, it was the predecessor for now then going to all the different capitals in every one of the states. And, you know, I know I'm not describing this very well. Forgive me. It's very hard to say how all these lines intertwine. But I'm saying this, God's orchestrating something very special in the earth. He's orchestrating his army in the earth to go to these capital cities. All these journeys are intertwined. Our journey last year, Awaken the Dawn in October of this past year. Now, this journey that will coincide with the same time Awaken the Dawn will be going to all the state capitals. This is all connected. And so God is orchestrating his army worldwide to go to these gateways and to release what he wants us to release. And he's even had some of us here on the East Coast and in the Mid-Atlantic region. We have been going to the 8 original capital cities that are in our nation. And so we have gone now to Baltimore. We've gone to Annapolis, we've gone to Lancaster and other cities that were originally capital cities in our nation and before Washington, D.C. And what God's wanting to do is release his glory deposits into those gateways and through those gateways to our nation's capital and to the capitals of the earth to see governmental shift come to the nations of the earth. And so that's what this trip is a part of. This trip is a part of a glory release into governmental gateways that God is orchestrating all over the world. And I believe it's very exciting. We're going to be meeting here in a couple of days in Philadelphia, which again was a former capital, and just declaring and decreeing what God wants to release through that gateway. And I do believe that it's interesting that God's highlighting Philadelphia right now and highlighting some of these places where he's moving and how he's releasing his power through these places. And I do believe it's connected to seeing his turnaround in our nations. So, you know, what, as these guys have already said, what this trip will be about is it will be one more assignment or one more piece of the puzzle in the overarching strategy of what Father's doing right now to orchestrate his army all over the earth. And it's the angels and the sons moving together. It's us going forth in what we've been called to do, but him sending his angels before us to prepare the way, and then us opening the way for others to go after us. And so this is part of a huge movement in the earth that God's doing. And I just really believe that we don't fully even understand the impact of this. I think really amongst ourselves, we're still trying to wrap our head around what this all looks like. But I know that it's far bigger than what we can comprehend. I know that while we're in Rome, there'll be people here in the United States doing all kinds of things at the 50 capitals of the 50 states. And so God is orchestrating something very, very significant in the earth. And so this trip will be a part of that. And if you feel that's part of your assignment, then I would urge you to, ask the Lord about that and believe him to get you where he wants you to be, so that you can do your part, in the army and fulfill the assignments that you're to be a part of. And so, we've just been talking about it amongst ourselves. We're believing the Lord to bring together exactly the right team, of people that will go together, on this journey. Last time we went, we had an amazing, amazing group of 88, folks who went. I think once you go to Israel together, you really are family. And you just feel like, you'll be connected for life. And, we've had just a glorious time with some of you, maybe even on this webinar who we got to know in this last trip. And it's an opportunity, but I would just urge you, ask the Lord, where you're to be during this time and with what he's doing in the earth, how he's moving in the earth, how he's raising up his army and causing us to move in greater synergy than we could ever imagine. Pray about that and see what the Lord would have for you.
Good job, Jamie. Good job, everybody. Now we've given you the vision. We need to get down to some particulars about the journey and the cost and how to connect and do those kind of things. Because of the time frame of 70th year of Israel's anniversary being a nation, this trip it's been a fight to get rooms in Jerusalem, because we're going to be there at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles when we leave from Rome. And so our hats are off to Ed Watts, who has handled that. And so, Ed, can you give us the particulars now of how people can connect and the price and all of that kind of thing?
Well, we are going to create a PDF Word document both. And everyone that's on the webinar today will receive an email for us to tell you exactly how you can place the deposit and all the information. The price point for it right now is $5,500, which would include airfare from the East Coast to Rome, Rome to Tel Aviv, and then Tel Aviv back to the East Coast. That would include the 13 days with hotel, ground, transportation, breakfast, and dinner. It just would not have, your lunch would be on your own. And but we have worked diligently to try to get it as low as we possibly can. And I have found, I've received multiple quotes and some of them quite higher than that. Everything is up because of the 70th year of Israel, and a lot of things are booked up. So it's quite higher than we wanted it to be. And but we're at a point where we really need to move on it if we're going to seize the rooms that we need. So we will require a $700 deposit, and then the total cost would be $5,500. There is the option of a no airfare option, which is about $1,100 or $1,200 cheaper, somewhere right around there, or $1,100. And we'll get that information to you. And we thought best, and everyone thought best, to do it in a document form. So if you're on the webinar, we'll be able to shoot that over to you this week. We'll get you a PDF or a Word doc on how to exactly do that. And so, detail wise, that, there's many details to it, but basic, we need a deposit, $700, which you'll know where to send it to. And the total cost will be $5,500. And, it's going to be a great journey. And, with what Jamie was saying, I just want to let you know, we are working on a global initiative to put a nail in every capital. I was working in coordination with Lou Engel and McCall at the Awaken the Dawn and wrote a declaration to VAV or nail all 50 state tents. And those tents are going to be up the exact time we're in Rome. 50 capitals are going to have a tent when we're at Capitol Hill in Rome. But we're looking at, we already have China on board. We have Israel on board. We are literally looking to do a synchronized moment where we're going to put a nail in the head of the capital of all these global capitals. So I'm excited about that. I wanted to jump on the end of that. So, James, do you have questions towards me or specific on more information that you think would be necessary?
Laura, are there any questions that people are asking?
We have a few questions. This one is probably the most pertinent. Do you have a deadline for the $700 deposit?
We are going to make the deadline March 5th. So, and we might shift that depending on how quick I get the PDF to everyone. But we're basically a month out. We need the deposit to be able to reserve the seat on the airplane and to lock in on the rooms. So, yeah.
All right. And some of the other questions refer to details that will be in the information will be sent to you. You'll be receiving email. So watch for that email. And I put in an email address to the chat box. That is gatewayhopecenter2017@gmail.com. You can just shoot off an email to them. They'll know that you're really interested in coming, and they will also be able to help you there. But we will get you this information. Another question is, do you know when the remainder will be due by? And if not, we'll just let them know. That'll be in the details.
I believe June would mid-June would be the remainder. But I'll put all that information in the document.
All right. So, again, we just want to encourage you, if you have other questions that don't have to do with details, other things you'd like to know about, you can put your questions in the chat box that's at the bottom of the GoToWebinar control panel. You can just type in right there and let us know, and the gentleman can answer your questions and discuss what you've mentioned. I do want to read this comment here from Donna. Donna said just recently, she is Italian, but evidently recently she found out that her family has Jewish DNA.
Wow.
She's excited, and Susan Austin is with us. She's very interested in going. She wants to know if you'll have the same tour guides. So
we have our tour guide from last year already secured. So on the Israel portion. So Ron, he's been to Israel 6 times now. He's the best tour guide that he's just incredible. So we have the best on that portion. James, could you explain what we do? We have full setup of worship, and our tour is a little different. We worship at the biblical sites doing governmental worship right on the land. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yes. What we did last year was we rented a van full of equipment with a generator, and the generator made all the difference. We were able to worship by the Roman aqueduct on the Mediterranean Sea. Our last day we worshiped at Naboth's vineyard, and where Jezebel was thrown from the wall. And we worshiped over, on the northern part of Israel, over Syria, and prophesied to the Al-Qaeda troops that they would be gone. And lo and behold, this year they're gone for a large part, and then we have full setup, but then there are moments when we go into chapels where the acoustics are absolutely wonderful, and have tender worship. So it's all kind of worships, and I think some of the people, the Sea of Galilee, when we worshiped for 2 hours on the boat with instruments, and it was one of the most it's all life impacting, really. Each day you worship probably, I don't know how many times we sit up, sometimes twice a day. Sometimes you worship three different times a day in different ways. But it's just all impactful and all unique. And going to Rome to worship in the catacombs, I can't wait to do that. And where the Father's got special places waiting that we don't even know. That's what, so again, this is not a tour, but yet he makes it a tour, an eternal tour, and where he interrupts you with I think one of John's favorite places was a prayer tunnel on the Mount of Precipice. So John, is there any more, is there anything as you've heard the other guys speak that because you were first it came up in your spirit that you would like to say?
So there's so much, you know, but I think the most important thing for me an apostolic prophetic leader, but definitely not gifted in worship, to actually go on site to the places where Jesus stood, to the place where Gideon brought out the smoking, the lamp and the shofar and sounded the shofar and the enemy was completely routed, to go to Mount Megiddo, Har-Megiddo or Armageddon, and hear the history of that land and prophesy into the future through song, through hearing the immediate sound and song from heaven that unlocks the well and rejoins heaven to earth.
Yeah,
it ruined me. I've been to Israel many times, been on a few tours. We go a couple times a year, but I've never experienced the heart of God and the passion of God like I experienced in the midst of this extraordinary worship, and you'll never be the same. And I so appreciate the vigilance and the determination of these guys to bring an entire truckload of worship instruments and everything that's needed to actually go on site and worship on site. It's extraordinary what happens because it turns the Mount Megiddo, or it turns the Mount of Beatitudes or the Mount of Olives. We shift from it being a historical teaching into being an encounter, a living encounter with the same God today. And so this is life changing, and I understand that the expense may be a little more, but what you get so far supersedes the investment. It is incredible. I want to encourage you just to believe God for the resources. This is a year where he is resetting the lampstands of our heart of passion for Jesus. He is resetting the lampstands, apostolic lampstands from region to region, and he's also providing the oil. I've been locked in this book, Midnight Cry. The last chapter talks about our journey from Rome to Jerusalem and the prophetic significance, the apostolic significance of this journey of coming back from Rome to Jerusalem with God's menorah, the lampstand, and bringing the reuniting of the lampstand with the tabernacle. We are in that place of seeing the tabernacle of our own hearts cultivated, the presence of God, his glory tabernacling with us, and he wants the lampstand renewed and restored. But that said, if you read Matthew 25, the midnight cry that ushers in the Lord's return, the primary issue for the midnight cry, when the bride awakens, she trims her lamps and she goes out to meet the bridegroom. And really where she's going, it's a destination wedding in Jerusalem to be married under a tabernacle, a bridal canopy. So in the very end of history, there is a bridal party, a party of lovers of Jesus that are going to make this midnight journey. They will be awakened, their lamps will be tended, and they're going to fill the streets with burning lamps that are going to enter into under the bridal canopy, under this tabernacle where the bridegroom and bride join together in marriage. And that's what tabernacles is all about, is the marriage, the covenant marriage between the bridegroom and bride. But the challenge of Matthew 25 is that 5 of the 10 virgins don't make it because they don't have oil in their lamps. And I want to just say that if you resolve that you want to make this journey to Jerusalem, to see this covenantal expression established, to see God's lampstand restored in the land of Israel, but also in the land of your own heart. If you set your course to make this journey, God will give you the oil of his provision to make it happen. I want to encourage you to step out in faith and believe God for the perpetual flow of provision so that you can make this journey with us. We are seeing the lampstand restored and we are seeing the provision unlocked. And somehow, I don't understand it, but even this is a forerunning journey that even speaks into the end of end times with the ultimate reunion of Jesus and his people.
Yeah. So Father, I would like to pray for those who the hearts are burning to go. We agree with them for your provision for them. Father, you're the ones who puts desires in our hearts. And so you're well able to get us where we need to be. So we're thanking you for supernatural encounters and supernatural release. And we commit this whole journey to you along with them now. Lord, thank you for the rooms that we'll stay in that they'll be available. Thank you for the right amount of people that's going on this journey with us. You'll have the right amount, just the way you surprised us last year with those 88. Thank you, Father, what you have planned for this year. We commit our way to you now through the blood of the Son. Ed, anything you want to say before we, or Laura, is any other questions we need to answer?
Yes, there's a couple other things happening in the background. So, first off, I just want to share that if you're being drawn to go on this trip and it feels like a lot of money to you, the money is not an issue for our Father. But let me also encourage you that the money to go is an investment in Israel. And for that, God will bless you. And perhaps you're online today or you're watching a replay and you aren't drawn to go, but perhaps, like one gentleman who put in a comment, you're drawn to give toward this trip. Please send an email to gatewayhopecenter2017@gmail.com and let them know you want to be a part by giving. Perhaps you want to be a part by praying. They will add you to the email list so that you can be apprised of what the needs are, whether financially or for prayer. And I also would really like to invite Dr. Susan Austin to just share and speak with us a little bit, because she was on last year's journey, and so she can give you another voice to let you know what that was like for her. So let me just unmute. Susan, you can speak to us.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, Susan.
Okay.
Hey, Susan.
Well, yes, hey, everybody.
Bless you, dear.
I was so privileged to go with this group last year, and Ed and James and Jamie and John. It is such a privilege to be with you guys. I mean, I feel like I'm a little kindergartner with the college kids. It's like, wow, all the prophetic revelation that came forth. And when last time, it was my seventh journey to Israel. And to tell you the truth, I was a little scared of going, because when I've been in Israel before, it's a rugged time to sometimes be in Israel and to travel and go on tours and everything. But there was so much grace on this trip from the worship, just worship. We were continually worshiping and there was just grace. I didn't want to leave Israel. It was so powerful to receive all the prophetic understanding, and the grace and the glory of God was with us. So I'm just so thankful, and my heart is burning to go. So I'm going to go. Thank you.
Good. She adds to a journey too. Her precious heart is so special.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Susan, for sharing with us. I know there are others of you who were on last year's trip. I'm looking at maybe Joseph, you could put up the slide for this year's journey again. There's a little detail, I don't know if you can all see underneath the date, but it says 7 mountains, to seven mountains. And so I just want to say I'm really excited with Isaiah22.com. If you have a chance to just go and peek at the website. But Isaiah22.com is all about the seven mountains. And so I'm going to be, my heart is also burning to join you this year. And I'm going to begin to ask the Lord for provision.
Yeah,
I know this is going to be not just a wonderful trip, but really a piece of, as you've said, what God is doing in the earth today to change things so that his kingdom is built. So, James, back to you.
Father, Jamie or John, Ed, anything else? My heart is full when I heard Susan. She kind of wrecked me a little. Ed, do you have anything else for Jamie?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, just as a testimony, for our last trip, you know, we're not planning to do it this time just because we don't feel to do it this time. But last time, we felt that we were to go as a family to Israel, and especially taking the Ark back up to Jerusalem. We felt that was such an important thing for our family to do together. My mom and my dad had never been to Israel. My kids, of course, had never been to Israel. My wife had never been. Only Jonathan and myself had been. And anyway, turned out, long story short, there were 11 of us who really felt called to go on this trip. And I'm saying this by way of a testimony for those of you who would like to go but need to believe God for the money. You know, the Lord provided for 11 of us. Through some incredible generosity. So I just want to encourage you that it's totally possible. It certainly is, as Laura said, certainly a worthwhile investment, not only in Israel, but in your own spiritual walk with the Lord. I think, like people have said, this is not a tour. But let me say this, that doesn't mean you're not going to, see the land of Israel, and in this case, Rome as well. But more than seeing it, and I have to tell you, the very first time I went to Israel, I went with Ed Watts, and I thought, I don't ever want to go to Israel with anybody else who's going to do it differently. But in addition to just seeing the land, I know it was Ed's intention with our first trip that I went on with him to encounter the God of the land in addition to just seeing the land. And that's really what we're trying to, I mean, that's not why we're doing these things. These are assignments from the Lord. But our heart is, to encounter the God of the land in that place. And what happened there, we want to not just tell the story and not just repeat history, but we want to encounter the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever in that place and to experience him as he revealed himself in that place. And so that's really what our heart is in doing some of these kinds of things. So I hope that makes sense in terms of understanding what we're doing.
Yeah.
Ed, anything else?
Well, I want to concur. You know, we really make sure we're very intentional that every place we stand, we open the book and begin to encounter the Lord in that place and even prophetically speak back into our nation and the nations that are represented. And there's something that happens when you stand in these places that the Lord has designed you to stand in, and something that even happens in your bloodline, and things get unlocked. And I have so many testimonies that time really does not afford us. But I just want to, I guess if I have one last thing, is we are in a historical time. We have many prophets prophesying. We're coming into a new era. I believe we're at the threshold, the very gateway of a whole new era, that we're shifting really from the anointing realm to the glory realm. We are truly coming into the manifestation of the sons of God. And that's a whole vast subject that we don't have time to. We will, I'm going to be on a journey leading a Chinese from the underground church of China in during Passover from Egypt to Jerusalem. And then we're doing Rome to Jerusalem in the fall. I think this is, you can't make this up, a divine summons to original intent. He's bringing his son out of Egypt. He's bringing his people out of what Peter called Rome, Babylon, out of confusion. And there's some scrolls getting opened up. And I believe even as we journey that the Lord's going to unlock some scrolls for our own family trees and bloodlines on this journey, for our cities, for the mandates we carry. You'll be shocked at what the Lord does through this divine assignment. So please pray and ask the Lord, what is your assignment? So, amen.
Amen. Laura, anything else we need to cover?
Well, we do. I want to mention that Augustus has said that he and his wife, he believes they're both to come, their issue is not necessarily money so much as documents. So maybe we could just include that in a prayer. And we do have an individual who's asked, you mentioned, Ed, about being able to pay an amount and them cover their own fare. They'll be coming from South Africa. And we're asking about joining you in Israel. So I recommended them to email, but do you have any comment on that?
Well, there is the non-airline, you know, with no airfare price that we'll put in it. And I'm trying to pull it up. I don't want to misquote. I know it's right around $1,100 less, somewhere right around there, give or take, on either side. So we'll include that in the document and how that would work. The negative of doing your own airfare is then we got to figure out Rome to Tel Aviv, because we're booking all our airfare through one airline so we could all be on the same flight from Rome to Tel Aviv. So we will have to figure out that portion, that leg on that travel day. But it's doable. Last year, I think we had seven nations represented. So we have people from Australia, South Africa, from China, from, I forget, UK. So yeah, we have that available for people.
Okay. And the other part of that question is, do they need to plan to meet you in Rome, or can they simply join up with you in Israel?
We really were wanting people to do the whole journey. We felt when we had talked, and I'll let the other gentleman pipe in on this, we talked about this. We feel like it's a journey from Rome to Jerusalem. Would anyone else like to share about this portion?
Because of that, if you come in halfway through, you're really not, you know, it's harder to plug in with heart and into what we're carrying, because it is an assignment. It's not a tour. And so if you're going to choose to go on this tour, journey, or assignment, we would like for everybody to commit to both Rome and Jerusalem, because we're all carrying something together. God forms a team with us all, and our hearts are knit together, carrying the lampstand of our hearts together as one from Rome to Jerusalem. But before we forget it, Father, we're praying for the documents needed. Lord, if you can raise money, you can change documents, and you can give favor for documents to come too. So we're agreeing with Augustus, whose heart is burning to go. And so, Lord, we're praising you for supernatural favor, supernatural grace, for you open doors that no man can shut, and you shut doors no man can open. We bless Augustus, and Father, we thank you for his way being committed to you and his wife, and we're thanking you for the documents they need to do what you have designed and ordered for them to do through the blood of the Son. We commit our way.
We just ask for everybody that desires to come. You said that Exodus 23:20, that you'll send your angel ahead of us and prepare the way. And we are asking for the release of your angels to go and prepare the way, whether it's documents, whether it's provision, whatever it is, Lord. We thank you that you are making a way where even there may seem like there is no way, so that your people can join together for this amazing assignment, just literally paralleling Matthew 25, to awaken, tend our lamps, go out to meet the bridegroom, and make this journey from Rome to Jerusalem in time for tabernacles, to tabernacle with you and see this reunion of the lampstand and the tabernacle. This is so much a part of your heart, and I know that you are speaking to people right now and people that are they're just going to come across this webcast. It's going to be totally unexpected. They're going to hear something that just sets their hearts on fire. And we want to welcome you into this assignment. This is an assignment that we have been united by, and we realize there are many, many people throughout America and throughout the nations that have received a similar assignment from the Lord to gather together. And we want to welcome you in this collaboration. So yes. Lord, make it so in Jesus' name.
And we want to welcome you too, like Laura said earlier, if your call is not to go, but to pray, send Ed an email and let him know that so we know who you are.
Good.
And if your call is to give, but not to go, and you want to give to this journey to help us and help people get there, then let us know that as well, or sow to Israel so we can take – last time we were so blessed as well by the offerings that were left in Israel by the tremendous company of people. So whatever the Lord leads you to do and prompts you to do, we just thank you for letting Ed know that, so that we can pray for you and have a list of who you are. So we can just honor you that way. Laura, anything else coming in?
Yes. Just to be sure, we have a few people now who will be coming from other places. So in the document that's sent out later this week, there should be information about how you can connect with them in Rome if you're not coming from the U.S. Correct, Ed?
Yes. Yes, okay. we will get that on the document.
Okay.
All right.
I was thinking about Augustus. Hi, Augustus. I can't see you if you can see me. But I was thinking of Caesar Augustus, and your name means increaser. So, Father, I thank you for Augustus, Father. Father, that you will increase him, Father, and that, Father, if his destiny is to walk, Lord, in Rome, Father, as a prophetic sign, Father, I thank you for the documentation and everything needed for that to happen in Jesus' name. Amen. I was wondering if our good friend Anthony Turner is out there, that you could unmute him. This precious brother, is he on the line there? Can we have him share?
Yes, he is. Well, let's see. Anthony, I'm going to unmute you, and you can speak to us now.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, my brother.
Bless you.
And I have just been totally blown away just with the thought of what Father will give us the privilege of doing again together. So I am overjoyed and thrilled and looking forward to what we get to do together from Rome to Jerusalem.
Well, Anthony was with us last year. We didn't know Anthony this time last year.
I knew Anthony.
John did, but we didn't. And so Lord highlighted his face to me, and I asked him if he could sing, and he said a little. My, what a little is with the Lord is much. And so this guy, he just blew us away, and we fell in love with his butter voice and his sweet heart. And so, Anthony, you know how we feel about you, and man, it's just an honor to hear your voice even today. I'm glad Ed picked up that you were there.
Bless you, let's do this thing.
Yeah.
Maura, can I share? This is Joseph. Can I share something?
Absolutely. Please do.
My spirit's just jumping up and down here. I'm excited. It's good to see everyone on the panel here. This morning, I wrote in my journal, good morning, Jesus, thank you for, and I wrote down a lot of things I was thankful for, but here's one of the things I wrote. For the fabulous record-setting Super Bowl game yesterday between the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles. Thank you that the Eagles won. And I wrote down, it's time for the prophets to soar. Because the Super Bowl, it was record setting. I think the most yards that had ever, total yards in a game was 900 something. And they had about 1200 yards of offense. I mean, just totally blew the records away. It was the most exciting Super Bowl I've ever seen. But was it just the game we were watching, or was God speaking to the people around the world. And so I believe that he was speaking to the people around the world, and his message, one of his messages is, it's time for the prophets to soar. And there's a reason that even the Super Bowl took place before today's broadcast, the timing of that. And Jamie had trouble connecting to the broadcast. I spent a little time meeting with him to help him get on. But then when he got on, you know, he's wearing his Philadelphia green. And so regardless of who you're rooting for, that's okay. I'm not saying that, you know, always root for this team. But what I am saying is that the Lord is speaking to all of us through that. Yeah. And this journey, if you haven't taken a look at the study guide carefully, read through the messages from James Nesbitt, from John Hamill, from Ed Watts, because it's so powerful what they're sharing in there. There's, you know, it's just the Lord is speaking to each of us through that. And so regardless of whether you go or don't go, you could still be involved with prayer. You can still refer people to the replay, you know, let them watch so that they can potentially come if the Holy Spirit's leading them to come. But this journey isn't just, you know, it's not just another trip. And the other thing I want to say is that if you have never experienced worship led by James Nesbitt and Jamie Fitt, you have missed an extraordinary experience. It's a now sound that is released. I had the privilege of going to Revolution 2017 at the Museum of the Bible that John and Jolene Hamill hosted, and it was absolutely incredible. Incredible. So it's not like you're just going to these places. The sound that is released as a team is incredible. Incredible. And so you can be a part of it. If you go, if you're praying, you can be a part of it that way. But I encourage you to multiply this message, to let other people know to watch the replay. That's what I had to share. And thank you, Laura, for doing this. It's so significant that they're talking about the seven mounds and Isaiah 2.2.com, something new that you've launched has to do with Isaiah 2.2 about the mountain of the Lord, as well as Isaiah 22.22, the key of David. So yes. Thank you, Laura, for doing this. This is so exciting.
Thank you, Joseph.
I had a word in 2013 that I was prophesying about the Eagles flying in a V, that the Lord's going to raise up V companies, breaker companies, that the Eagles are going to do what they normally don't do. They're going to fly in a V. And you know, when geese fly in a V, they defer to one another. I had someone sketch me this. It's seven eagles flying in a V. And there you go, Jamie. But I'm not going to give this to you when I come tomorrow. But but I really do believe it's a prophetic sign in our nation. And I think that maybe the Lord would summon a people, even from seven nations, that there's these apostolic leaders that will fly in a V and bring breakthrough to the nation. So I wanted to jump on Joseph's little eagle thing there. I really do feel we're in a prophetic moment and a prophetic time that for such a time as this.
I want to jump on it too. But Father, I am grateful for the Isaiah 2-2 company that we have the privilege of being. Is this the first webcast, Laura? Is that correct?
This is actually the first webcast that we're hosting. And I just want to take a moment to honor Joseph Peck because he is helping me launch in asking me to help host this today. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity.
Well, that's a father blessing. You've been so faithful to him, and now he's blessing you, and we bless you too. And it's an honor for us to be on the first broadcast of Isaiah 2-2. It's a historic day. Wow. It's an historic moment. And so we bless Joseph Peck for his being able to bless you, and that's the heart of a father. And we bless you that you're a faithful friend. And we bless this broadcast, and we bless this journey that you're on, seven mountains to seven mountains. And Father, we're just thanking you for the eternal blessing of being a part of this. It's written in the book that this webcast was the first, and we have the honor of that, and we honor you, Laura.
Thank you. You know, it's 2 years to the day that I woke up one morning and Holy Spirit said to me, go find a website. Now imagine that. He's not telling me to find something that already exists. It was like looking for a needle in the haystack, except you didn't know it was a needle. You didn't know if it was the size of a needle or a truck, what color it was. Yes. I only knew when I found it, because one of the first spiritual songs the Lord ever led me to write, I wrote the music for it because I was opened in my Bible to Isaiah 2:2. So for me personally, it had significance, and I knew when I happened upon it, that was it. But I feel so strongly about this journey that you're getting ready to take. And I'm excited. I will be there however I'm there. If I'm not there in person, I will be there in spirit with you. I remember watching Facebook for Susan Austin's posts every few days and what was going on and what you all had posted on Facebook. It was wonderful to just be able to take a small part in what you were doing. But this is just fantastic to watch what the Lord is doing. You know, he says, I don't do anything unless I reveal it to my prophets. Well, why does he do that? So that we can agree, so that we can be apart, so we have the opportunity to come together. And so thank you so much for sharing this today.
Thank you, Lord. So are we all clear?
I'm just checking really quickly to see if there's anything else. You know what? I do want to ask one other person to share, if she would. Anastasia from South Africa is with us today. So, Anastasia, you're unmuted. If you could speak to us, go ahead.
Shalom, shalom to all my wonderful family. What a wonderful picture it is to see you all again. And I'm so excited here from South Africa to know that this is the time for that which we were born to do this. And John, I want to tell you, I've been in a time of praying and fasting, and I got your book, Midnight Cry, and it just was stuck in my heart. And I said, well, and now you're talking about that. So this is again a godly appointment. And this time I'm not coming for 7 days. This time I'm coming for the whole journey. I believe for every financial provision. So you will see me in Rome. You must just tell me how to get there.
Awesome. Wonderful.
We love you.
Thank you, Anastasia.
She was an amazing part of the journey last time. Her dance and what she released. Dance, it sculpts the air and breaks open stuff that is just phenomenal. And Anastasia is a very mature, skilled, prophetic releaser. And to have her with us, coming to Rome and Jerusalem, that makes my heart leap, for her to be joining us.
That's wonderful. There's another individual on the broadcast I just want to mention to you all. She's been a teacher of dance for the last 15 years. And I encouraged her to send an email to you, Ed, at gatewayhopecenter2017@gmail.com. She really would like to go, and I can hear already and see already what God is orchestrating. Mm-hmm. So if you all have any more questions, please answer. And Patricia asked this question. Can a nobody come?
Oh, my Lord. Dear Patricia, there are no nobodies in the kingdom. And there are no crowns on this tour either, except for the crown, who we crown him with. We cast our crowns together. And so you're more than honored and welcome to be here. Usually it's the silent waters that run the deepest. And so, we make room for everybody to have a voice of what they're hearing. It's important to us that nobody thinks they're a nobody. It's important to us that everybody knows that they're somebody and they have a part to play in our time together in worship. So there's room for you, dear. And if you've ever been made to feel like you're nobody, we're sorry for that, because that's not what you'll experience with us. We don't want that to happen to anyone.
Well, her name means noble. It's Latin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what do you got to say about that, James?
Well, Father, we're thanking you for this noble one. We're thanking you that the enemy, we know that if her name has been noble, the enemy's tried to tell her that she's everything but that. But today we all five actually agree, grace, grace, grace to you. And I think this is the fifth day of February too. So we thank you for multiplied graces on the noble one to arise in vision and insight. And you said, Father, that the righteous are bold as a lion. So we thank you that she's bold, noble. We thank you, Father, that her footsteps smoke when she walks on the ground. And we bless you. We bless her today, noble one.
I want to jump in on that for just a moment too. For many people who came on this Crown and Throne tour last year, their identities got unlocked in a whole new way. I know mine did. I know you guys, you experienced something similar too. There's nothing like encountering God in the land, in the midst of worship, in the midst of a community that loves and cares and protects and celebrates each one of your individual gifts. Not just the gifts that you carry, but the gift of who you are. And so just come expecting that the brilliance of the lampstand that the Father has given you will begin to shine in a whole new way.
Yeah, amen. That's good.
Thank you, John.
Amen.
All right. Thank you all for being here. Marie is writing in. She says, precious hearts. No ego. James leads as a conductor empowered by Holy Spirit. Thank you. Marlene writes in. She says, yes, I sense that the V is a spearhead tip of the iceberg, the arrowhead, breaking through, piercing the darkness, bringing light. I have the song, Awake, Awake, Put on Your Strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, Jerusalem, on my heart.
Yeah.
Stephanie is asking, as a forerunner and always feeling out of place, would you pray for my confirmation to go?
Yes.
And she may not be the only one.
Jamie, Ed, one of you guys want to pray for her confirmation to go?
Yeah, I want to pray for that because, you know, I just feel so strongly that in this season, this time of late September, this tabernacle season, you know, just be positioned where the Lord would have you is the important thing. We're sharing with you one opportunity, but this may not be for everybody. So, Father, we do thank you right now for your Spirit, which you have given to us, to lead us and guide us into all truth. And Lord, we thank you for that gift, the promise of the Father. We receive it afresh and anew. We receive you, Holy Spirit, again today to bring a witness to us. Lord, that our spirit and your spirit would testify together. Lord, for what you have for us in this season. And Lord, I thank you that you are positioning your army all across the globe right now, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you are moving us where you would have us to go. So, Father, for any who are supposed to go on this trip, we thank you for a clear, clear confirmation. We thank you for making the way in finances, in documents, and all the other things we've already prayed about. We thank you for opening up the way, Lord, parting every river and sea that needs to be parted. And we just thank you, Lord, for making it clear. And, Lord, for those that are supposed to be positioned at a different place, Lord, we thank you for making that very, very clear as well.
Yes.
And, Father, show us how we can even be positioned in different places, stationed at different places, but understanding, Lord, that we are still united in the Spirit. We're part of one army. And so, Father, we thank you that whether we're together in the physical realm or not, our shields are locked in the Spirit. So, Father, we thank you for all of that, and we thank you for making it very, very clear, giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes. I would like to share one thing. In 2012, my friend Ray Hughes was going to go to Jerusalem and worship, and I wanted to go. And I put my deposit in for my son and I to go. But then for me, the rest of the money never came in for me to make the rest of the deposit to go. And so that's not normal for me, but I said, Lord, I don't know what it is, but yet I have to trust you that there's some reason you didn't want me to go. Well, at the very time that I would have been in Israel is when my wife came down with cancer. And had I been in Israel, I would have not been with her. And so the Lord, he allowed me not to be in Israel at that time because he had someone else more important for me to be. But even in a prophetic word that Bob Haslett gave over, he said, you're supposed to went to Israel once, but it got delayed, and now is your time to go. So those of you, just like Jamie said, it's about wherever Father wants us to be, and our highest prayer is to be where you're supposed to be during this time. And so we're wanting as many as Father wants to go, but know this. If you don't go, it's okay if he's got somewhere else for you to be. And we bless you to be wherever Father has got for you to be. Just so you know, my wife is totally healed, and the Lord has done good with her. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, thank you for sharing that, James. I know that that will bring release to some to be able to say, I really want to go, but I'm not called right now. And as Jamie prayed, that others will receive that confirmation, that they'll see and hear that it is indeed their time to go.
Yes.
Anything else that anybody wants to share?
All I would like to say is thank you. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, John Hamill. It's an honor to work with you and to know you and be your friend. Ed Watts, yeah. We thank you for all you are and the wonderful, crazy man that you are. And Jamie Fitt, we thank you that your wings are flying high. We bless you. And thank you, Joseph Peck, and everybody who's joined. Anthony Turner, oh, how we love you. And Anastasia and Susan and all those who went with us last year who we hold in our heart. And the ones, new friends we're going to meet this year. Thank you in advance for coming with us.
Anybody else have something, final words? John, you prayed us in.
Word, and that's no king but Jesus.
That's a good word. John, would you like to pray us out?
Sure. Lord, we thank you that there is a fire in the hearts of each one of us who've been touched even by this webcast. We thank you, Lord, that you are making a way where there is no way for those that you have summoned to yourself to this journey from Rome to Jerusalem. We ask that you give clarity to everybody that receives this invitation, Lord. But I thank you that this summons goes far and wide. Lord, it is a summons to awaken, a summons to tend our own lamps and go out to meet you in this destination wedding in Jerusalem, Israel, from Rome to Jerusalem. And we just thank you for sealing each prophetic word, this window of opportunity, the 70th anniversary of Jerusalem, of Israel's birth. We thank you, Father, for quickening each and every person that hears the summons and providing the provision necessary to join us. We ask, Father God, that you give favor, honor, and blessing to Joseph and Laura as they continue to spread abroad your heart and your word, and that we just seal this time in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Once again, thank you all, and we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.